Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Lord, as we come around your word, open our eyes to see the things in your word that would stir us and give us life. Open our hearts to hear from your Holy Spirit this morning. Open our imaginations that we'd get a sense of the grandeur of all that you've accomplished, Lord Jesus, and just thank you for the word of God this morning. Amen. Well, it is coming. Christmas. Who's excited? Yeah, Colin's excited again. It's good. I'm excited. I mean, Christmas is fun. I mean, what do you look forward to in the coming? I mean, what is it? Is it presents? You know, who's got a Christmas tree? Have you got things under the tree and mysterious shapes, and sizes, things? Is it time with family and friends? Is it in just the gathering of people together and that sort of celebration together? Is it warm days? Huh. The things we look forward to, you know, summer barbecues, pools, and, you know, those sorts of just outdoor things that we've missed so far. Is it food? Oh, what's your favorite Christmas food? Is it trifle with extra pour of cordial in there? You know, is it fruitcake? Is it just, do you do the whole roast thing, or is it sausages on the barbecue? You know, what is it? What does it look forward to? Is it just that special feeling of the end of the year coming? You know, that sense that it's kind of end of year, you know, whatever that means for us. Is it celebration with people? Is it the Boxing Day test? You know, when it's all over. No one's with me there. But is it Christmas cracker jokes? Well, actually, Just to get you ahead, I've got a list. And I've actually got a great idea for next Sunday in the lane. I think we should have a cracker joke party off. Just to get you in the mood, what do you get if you cross Santa with a duck? A Christmas quacker. Yes, yes. See, they're just terrible. What? I'm not even going to read that one. Did Rudolph go to school? No, he was elf taught. Who hides? No, that's okay. So you get the idea. You might be looking forward to these things, you know. But will it really be all that it's cracked up to be? Will it really be that, you know? Presents, the presents you bought for the kids last year, did they get used? Or is it landfill, you know? Like, did we win on that front, or did it just accumulating stuff? Is it time with family and friends? You know, we look forward to that, but that argument last year with my auntie and, you know, the unforgiveness and bitterness, and she said that to him and he said that and he stormed out in a huff, and does that ever happen? Maybe it's not so great with the relays. Is it warm days? Yeah, but it hasn't happened yet. And if it does, we want aircon, but there's no aircon or a pool, or like we complain about the heat. Is it food? Is it the Christmas dinner? But it takes so long to cook, doesn't it? And it's always 2 or 3 o'clock by the time you get there, and then you're stuffed, and then you feel terrible, and then you feel. Isn't that special feeling? But it's over so quick. Before you know it, it's New Year's Day, and then it's January, then it's what's next? You know, it's not till Australia Day that you get to breathe. Is it parties? You know, the end of year, the work parties. Fun, but you know, last year, you know, it was just a sleazy thing that people ended up saying things. And you see, we put so much emphasis on Christmas at the end of the year, the coming. But what are we really hoping for? And so much of what we hope for fades so quickly or underdelivers. Things that we hang up for and save up for and spend so much time and effort and money on, sometimes go south. But still, every year we're tricked, aren't we? It's Christmas. Is it just a great big trick? I'm not saying I love Christmas. All right. But when you look, when you peel off the layers a little bit, sometimes it's not all that it's cracked up to be. Is it the Boxing Day test? Great promises every year, but I'm not so sure about this one. And those jokes. And so we look for other things. See, there's something inside of us that drives us on for fulfillment, meaning, like that sense, there's got to be something more. Like, why would we look forward to something if current life right now is great? Why are we forever looking forward to the next day, the next thing, the next year? Why are we hopeful people, always looking ahead? And sometimes we give ourselves to, you know, how do we get freedom and a sense of peace on the inside? We can't find it in Christmas or end of year. Maybe we look to other things. Maybe it's the government. Maybe we need a new government or a new council. So we vote, you know. Maybe we need a water supply or a bypass in the city or something. And maybe that'll make the difference. So we put all of that effort into voting and campaigning. And then it doesn't always deliver, does it? Maybe it's in our careers and successes. Maybe we put all this effort into getting ahead, but one day you're going to retire. One day all those things, all that study, all that thing, and you get to whenever you retire and it's gone. And now what have you got? Maybe it's net zero. If we quickly move there, maybe that's what it is. But does it solve the heartache and the desperation of the human heart? See, we turn ourselves to all kinds of ideas. Maybe it's our relational world. You know, maybe if only I had this person in my life or that person, or if I didn't have this person or that person in my life, it would all be okay. But eventually, there's times of aloneness, isn't there? Where we all, no matter what your family situation, or there's times when it's just you. So what are we looking for, and why is there this ache in the human heart that we continually search for solutions for, inside and outside? It's like we hurtle towards some outcome. But I'm telling you, Advent, the coming, the original coming, is the solution. That's why Christmas is so great. It is. It's not great because of all the stuff, the peripheral stuff we build around it. It's great because what Jesus has already brought us. That's the coming. That's what Advent means. It means the coming. It means the promise of something in the future. But guess what? That future was in the past. The future has happened. The future is now. There is a certainty. There is a solution. There is a fix right now for the human heart that should give us great encouragement and will get us through any Christmas season and everything is coming up. Because the world at the first Christmas was in a similar fix. And let me just take you back there for a moment to zero, 2,000 years ago. Come back with me to the ancient world of Israel, where the Romans were in charge, looking after the people, looking after the people, making sure that Rome was in charge, dominating people. And these poor people, the Jews, they'd been dominated for centuries. You know, it was the Greeks, it was the Babylonians, it was the Persians, wave upon wave. The Assyrians got in there. Then the Romans, and they're tired. They're weary. They've been oppressed for centuries. And God has gone silent on them. It's been 400 years since there was a prophet. And the Greeks did hideous things in the temple, like they've been destroying all kinds of things. The Romans have put in some kind of little peace deal, but it's kind of fragile. And so they're looking for a solution. They're looking for a fix. It's like, you think we've got it bad with COVID? Tell you what, this was terrible. They had no freedom, no chance to be who they really were as a people. And so they're looking for a Messiah. They're looking for an answer. They're looking for an outcome. And one day, a man called Zechariah, our reading is this week from Luke 1, right? One day, Zechariah, who's a priest, he's doing his priestly duty. He's elected by chance to go into the temple to burn incense. And so all the other priests around the outside, they're praying for him because it's a frightening thing to enter into the temple of God. Zechariah goes in. You see, on the backdrop of all kinds of oppression and centuries of silence from God, the day has arrived where there's a stirring. There's something coming. And Zechariah goes in with his duty. He's got all dressed up. He's a priest. And he looks up and he sees an angel. And an angel is not fluffy and small and little wings. Angel is a fearsome creature, especially this Gabriel. This is Gabriel, the messenger angel, one of the chief angels standing there. Do not be afraid. Why? Because it's a fearsome thing to see an angel. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of the coming. The angel announces something. You're going to have a child. You're going to have a son. Even though his wife, Elizabeth, is way past childbearing, there's a promise coming. And Zechariah didn't quite believe it. And then he said, well, you're not going to speak again until the boy is born. But then walked out again and, you know, people going, what happened in there? Because he couldn't speak. But it's the promise of John the Baptist, someone who's going to come and share the way. At the same time, a bit later on, the same angel appears to a young lady called Mary, way up in Nazareth, in Galilee. And of all the people in the world, Gabriel comes to this young lady, Mary, and says, favored one, peace be with you. Favored one, greetings. I love it. It says, he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Imagine that. You're just an ordinary country girl. You're not a city girl. You're not in Jerusalem. You're not of the, you know, the priestly line or anything like that. You're just an ordinary country girl. And of all the people in the world, Gabriel comes and says, hey, favored ones, greetings. You are going to be pregnant with a child who will save the world, the coming. And she believes it. She goes, well, how's that happen? I haven't been with a man, a Gabriel. It's just all right. It's the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I tell you, can you see the stirring? You see the ache in the heart, centuries of domination, all kinds of issues have gone on, and suddenly, this thing's coming, this thing's stirring, things on the move. And Elizabeth and Mary are actually cousins, and they get together, and Elizabeth's baby jumps in the womb, and you know, there's an incredible interchange. But what's happening is the future. There's a coming time where this solution to the human heart will be delivered. And it's all about this baby about to be born. And so what I did this week in Luke 1, because that was our reading, I said, Lord, what is the key message that angel delivered about the future? If I sift it all down, you know, there's lots of words. Luke 1 is big. You know, it's 70-something verses, 80 verses. I said, God, what is the key thing that Gabriel said that would help us right now? And I sifted it and I prayed, and here's two things. I really think these things are the answer to the human heart. Come with me to Luke 1, 31. This is to Mary. Mary saw greatness. She saw the greatness of God. Luke 1, 31 says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now, Jesus means Joshua. It's the same word of Joshua in the Old Testament, which simply means God saves. It says, you will call your boy God saves. Imagine walking around, what's your boy called? God saves. God saves. The names were so important in the Old Testament, in New Testament times. God saves. That was his name. Verse 32 says, he will be great. And then he says four things about the greatness of God. He'll be called, firstly, the Son of the Most High, God. The baby inside you will be the Son of the Most High God, the King of Heaven, the ruler of rulers. That will be his father. Like, how amazing would that be to think that the baby you're carrying is actually the child of the most important, the most powerful king, ruler that's ever been? Could you imagine that? Mary gets a glimpse of the greatness of the child that she's carrying. Second thing, says, he will sit on the throne of his father, David. David was the most revered king of the Old Testament. And now they're saying that your son is actually of the lineage of the greatest earthly king ever. And suddenly, this man, God, child inside, has not only earthly heritage, but godly heritage. See how amazing. I mean, can you think who would be the greatest person on the planet? I don't really know. Depends on your persuasion, your political views and all that. But let's say it's the English monarchy. Imagine carrying the next king or queen. How would you feel? You know, you've seen the doctors and when a prince is coming, you know, being born. Just the care and the attention. Can you imagine the significance of this? Thirdly, it says he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Not only is he significant earthly and heavenly king, but his reign will be forever. He will not stop being king. Forever. An eternal king. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Not just his reign, but his whole kingdom will be eternal. Now, this is a phenomenal promise. There's no way that could be ever said about an earthly king. But this is no ordinary king. And Mary catches a glimpse of the greatness of God and the greatness of the one who is to come. And she just... Oh. What is also incredible about Mary is she sees it personally. And in verse 49, she says, for who is mighty? For he who is mighty has done great things for me. You see? He's not just great. He's not just powerful. He's not just eternal. He doesn't just have this great lineage, but he does great things for me. See that? There's great people in this world, but they do great things for you personally. So Mary gets a glimpse of the greatness of God and the one she's to carry. Now, we need greatness in this world. We do. It's quite un-Australian to talk about greatness because we like people just to kind of put your head down. You know, don't tall poppy thing, you know. Don't get too proud. Don't get too above things. Just, we don't like great. We don't like kind of leadership sometimes. But greatness delivers. Real greatness delivers. You need to be great to deliver on your promises, right? You need to have power and authority in order to deliver on your promises. If you're not great, you can't do what you say you're going to do because you don't have the power, but Jesus does. But also greatness, it lifts our gaze. When you're around great situations and big contexts, it makes us bigger. We grow, we rise in that sense. Okay. That's what Gabriel spoke to Mary about the greatness of God. What about Zechariah? Jump over to Luke 1:74. It says that we being delivered from the hand of our enemies, right? So this king will deliver us from the hand of our enemies, that we might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. That's an odd thing to say. So this king will deliver us from our enemies. He's not talking about the Romans or the Assyrians or the Babylonians. He's talking about the greatest enemy we have is our internal disposition to get it wrong. Right? It's us. It's sin. It's the devil that will try and just distort truth. He'll actually overcome that. He will give us the victory over that. So that, and this is what they brought to love, so that we might serve him without fear. You and I can serve God without fear. We're in the halls of greatness, but there is no fear. Can you imagine walking into Buckingham Palace or the White House or the Lodge? It's quite follow, doesn't it? But imagine just fear in big circumstances. But we can serve God without fear. We have a sense that even though he's great and powerful and majestic, we can come alongside and serve him without any sense of fear. This is incredible. In holiness and righteousness. You see, it matters how we live. It affects our soul. It affects the way we see ourselves. And so this Jesus is going to come and teach us how to live well in holiness and in righteousness so that we have this great sense of well-being, serving God without fear before him all our days. And in verse 79, he says that he will guide our feet into the way of peace. See, Zechariah sees peace. He sees a pathway to peace. He sees a way of living in peace. Mary sees greatness. Zechariah sees the way of peace. Now you put those things together, and here's where it gets really fun. See, many people make promises of peace or desires for peace, but they have no greatness to deliver them to the peace. Many people have aspirations and world peace and, you know, let's just get on together and whatever. But see, unless you have the authority to bring real peace, it's just talk. It's just fluff, actually. Jesus is the only one who can bring real peace because he's the only one who has the authority to bring it. He's the only one with the authority to silence the enemy in order that we can have real peace. And guess what? We can have it right now. We don't have to wait till Christmas. We don't have to wait till the new year. We don't have to wait till anything. We right now can access the peace that is in Jesus. That is the coming. That's what we've been waiting for. But it's in the past, so we can access it now. Does that make sense? Can I get the musos on stage? We're going to sing in a minute, but I want to just run through some things because I want you to see this. This is so significant, what Mary understands and what Zechariah understands from Gabriel, the messenger of God. We see it in Luke 1. It's such an amazing passage. But we can realize peace. You can have the peace of Christ right now. Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. He's called the Prince of Peace. He's the one who can bring peace. And right now, are you at peace? How do you feel? Are you churning because of all that's on this month? Do you lay down at night and go, oh, so I got to buy this, I got to do that, I got that, I got this party. You know, the other day I was getting ready for a party at our house and I just all day I'd been doing stuff. I mowed some lawns and then I bought some stuff and then I did some things and then I sat down and I'm going, I'm not at peace right now. I'm just churning. Ever felt like that? And they call Christmas the Christmas peace time. It's not. So I said, I'm sorry, Jesus. I need you right now. Right now, Prince of Peace, to come and just take that all away. I said, Jesus, peace. Jesus, thank you for your peace. Jesus, thank you for your peace. It's the greatest prayer you'll pray this time of year. Right now. You have to wait. Right now. No matter what's going on. Are you at peace? Is your heart churning? Are there things that are disturbing you? Are there things that are annoying you? It's nothing as big as what Jesus has faced because He is the King. He has the authority. And you can stop right now to receive the peace of Jesus. Right now, in this room. We're going to practice. But what I want to do is help you so that throughout this season, in fact, throughout your life, at any point in time, if you just stop and take a quick check of your soul, you can enter that peace right there. It's like when you're driving your car and your engine is redlining. And you're running low on fuel. You need the peace of Jesus. Would you stand to your feet? Close your eyes. Hold out your hands. You can do this anytime, anywhere. Lord Jesus, I receive your peace. Say it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I receive your peace. And I want you to picture it washing over anxiety, pressure, discontentment, problems, fears, insecurities, just all the things. If we stop still enough for long enough, things that give us anxieties, they pop up. But just thank you, Jesus, for your peace. I receive your peace. What it does is it washes over and it puts them back in their place, because he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of all your circumstances. He is the boss. He is the God. He has authority. It's not just about praying to change circumstances. There'll always be things to be concerned about. It's entering a space where Jesus is Prince of Peace. No matter what, no matter what sort of time of year, no matter what COVID things are happening, no matter what's going on at work, at home, at family, Jesus, I receive your peace. Thank you for your peace. You can serve God without fear in that space. You can live a life of joy and of freedom. No matter what, cancer or no cancer. No matter what, because Jesus is our peace. Just take a moment, receive his peace. Let it put a smile on your face, and a calming anxiety is gone. Jesus. Jesus. It's something you can pray every day, something that I pray every day. I want to get wound up. If you've never prayed that prayer, pray it now. Jesus, I receive your peace. Find yourself in a new spot. Lord, I pray for each person here that this week will be marked by peace, marked by the greatness of God delivering peace. Thank you that we can be with you, serve you without fear. Thank you that we can be filled with life and peace. Thank you for the messages that you sent through Gabriel. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Practice that, okay? During the week.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.